typically what I see as growth hacks, people call growth hacks, it's just like marketing anyways, and we call it a growth hack. So I don't know, the concept of growth hacks, which I think is a really negative thing because most of the actual tactics associated with it are just marketing.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. I am Jonathan Gandolf, founder and CEO of The Juice, and your host of today's episode. I am thrilled to be joined by another founder, co-founder and CEO of Champion, Jeff Reekers. Jeff is a marketer turned co-founder, which has a special place in my heart. Excited to talk a little bit about that and all things customer marketing today with Jeff. But before I ramble on too much, Jeff, in your own words, why don't you share a little bit about your background and your journey to starting Champion?
Yeah, certainly. First, you might see a little guest here, Kurt Hathley. I don't normally work from home.
Special guest. We've had a few dogs on the podcast make an appearance. I think this is the first cat we've had.
Yeah. He's actually like, he whispers all the marketing ideas to me. And that's, he was all about customer-led growth initially. But I've generally been a B2B marketer. I started my career at Forbes, actually, in journalism. And then I moved into the startup landscape and B2B marketing. Had a number of different roles throughout the years. Most recently, I was CMO of Aircall, where we did the journey from one to around 150 million or so in revenue. And it was a really incredible, amazing journey. And through that phase, really saw the power of what happy users and customers can bring the organization in terms of growth and effective and efficient growth. And that was sort of the foray. You know, we got to a certain point of growth and scale there. Really wanted to get back to building. And this time really do it as the founder and CEO. And there was this nice collision of moments, essentially, between the concept and idea of Champion, this direct experience with customer-led growth, and just always in my mindset of marketing is essentially a voice of the customer, and I've always been really close to the customers that have been a part of our prior organizations, and saw a great opportunity in the market to be able to bring something about. And so we got started on this company, Champion, around January of 23, and it's been a great ride since.
That's awesome. So we'll jump into all of that because I didn't realize you're a former journalist as well. We've seen some interesting insights from former journalists in what we do, but we'll jump into all of that. Jeff, this is the Content Cocktail Hour, so we always like asking our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays as you take a big swig from your coffee mug? Either alcoholic, non-alcoholic, what are you enjoying nowadays?
I mean, I put down coffee all morning long. I made a commitment to not drink any coffee. I just made a commitment not to drink any, and that lasted about a day. And so in the morning, it's coffee, and then more recently, I probably drink like 3 or 4 diet root beers a day. So that's probably my thing, is I grab a diet root beer, and I just drink it. And I like the taste of root beer. And I know diet's a horrible thing, actually, but I can't help it. That's what I drink. So that's probably my thing right now, is I'm knocking back in the morning, the coffee, have a little intermission phase, but I try to get some water in, and then I transition to some diet root beer in the evening.
Are you loyal to any one brand of root beer? Like, is there a local root beer? Are you an A&W guy?
Yeah, I definitely love, like, local root beers and things like this. And there's lots and lots of cool, fantastic local brands and stuff. I think historically, it's hard to find these days, but my brand has always been Dad's Root Beer. So particularly now as a dad, like, I searched that one out. But it's a very hard one and difficult one to find. So I'm lucky to get that. Barks is good. Anything can't really go wrong.
Love that. I've been on a diet ginger ale kick lately. I'm also like a big diet soda drinker, and I know it's not the best for me. But yeah, it's better than full diesel, I guess, is how I justify it in my head.
Diet's always the one where you'll get folks that just always say, like, you know what that will do to you, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, yes, I do, but I can't stop it.
We all have to make choices that have consequences. Let's jump into some of the marketing conversation. Maybe before we go specifically to Champion, although I guess this question might weave into that, like the journey at Aircall from 1 to 150 million, you know, pretty rare opportunity to go on that journey. And you referenced this in your introduction, but customer marketing and being close to your customers was really core to making all of that possible. Would you mind maybe just like digging into that experience a little bit and what Aircall did differently or exceptionally well with customers and customer marketing and what kind of role that played in that path from 1 to 150?
I think it's just part of the DNA of the organization. And only later did it become something where we really started to understand that it's a root function that to start building out internally. But even early on, I think my first meeting that we did as an exec offsite when I joined the team the first conversation we had was about wow experiences for customers. Mm-hmm. And like that was just how we talked as a company. And, you know, that Christmas we had done things like, I think we set up a voicemail that people call into, and then it was sort of like an auto dialer thing, and depending on which number you picked, you'd get a different present and surprise and things like that that we then ship out to you. And so we're just always doing kind of fun things like this with customers. When we expanded into the U.S., which is not too long after I had joined, I joined a little bit after that, but we had a few really like landmark customers that we were close with that helped us expand in the U.S. And particularly that type of company, we were one which, you know, you're selling a phone system, the most basic level. That's something that almost every organization on the planet needs. So how do you slice and dice the world to make up a strong product market fit and figure out what your path is going to be? And the way we did that was really like localized and close-knit. And so we had our start in the e-commerce space, found some great customers early on that were sort of raving fans of the company. And we were lucky to be in New York, or I don't know, lucky, that was really a good move from our CEO, but we got our start there, and there's tons of e-commerce companies in New York City. And so our start was just like, let's look at New York City. There's a couple great e-commerce brands. We had a couple great logos early on, and those customers are now what I would call champions of the brand and champions of the company. They helped us turn that one customer into two referrals, three referrals. There was one that actually would go on like sales calls with me in person, and we needed it to happen. And you know, there was that same one. When I left Aircall, 6 years later, I was still doing webinars with them. And so you just saw this impact of happy customers over the years and what that impact was on the business. And we just saw that all throughout the years. We stayed close with customers. I used to host something called Customer Talks. I'd interview customers in front of the entire organization. We'd actually find people that were like zero NPS scores, but they left a lot of commentary, which meant they were not happy, but they yeah. wanted to be happy,
yeah. Yeah.
like they had something to say about it.
Engaged.
We'd interview them. Yeah, they were engaged. Yeah. We'd interview them in front of the company, 600 people at the later stage, 700 people, and just go through a list of questions, make sure that they felt heard, got their feedback, and then we'd implement things based off of that as well and brought our company closer and closer at scale to the customer. I did all those interviews directly. I don't think we ever had one of those customers churn, and if they thought they were going to churn, like they'd reach out to me beforehand. And so many of those became 0 NPS to 10 NPS scores over time. And so it's just really a strong ethos of the company. And then out the other end of that pop things like referrals and people willing to do, happy to do, you know, reference calls, or tons of users would join new organizations over time and bring us along with them. And we just saw so many positive sort of externalities that happened down funnel from those experiences. And it was never like a direct channel at the onset. It was just, that was our ethos, and we saw great things come out of that over time.
It's fascinating to me that it was like organically baked into the ethos, and it wasn't like, hey, we're going to go do customer marketing well, right? It was just like, I don't know, it's fascinating that from the very get-go that it was just organically built into how that business operated. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was never like, let's run a referral program, right, and incentivize people with $50 out of it or something like that. It was, we were genuine. Sometimes people would just proactively bring them to us, which was great. Other times, it was really like we knew a customer. We knew that they were happy and that we had a great relationship with them. It was just a genuine, like, we're looking for two or three other customers like yours, and can we reach out to them and see if there's anybody they'd be worth an intro into. And so, like, all those things stem from our relationship that we had with our customers versus, I think, where a lot of customer-led growth initiatives start to get into is, like, you know, it's very transactional. You offer somebody a gift card or yeah. something like this and hope that they'll do something for you. And that might work for a review campaign. Or maybe it's why that, you know, everyone has a 5-star review on every single platform on earth these days. I don't know. But like, it has to be genuine and start there. And then, you know, you build systems on top of that later on.
That's so cool. So then what inspired you to start Champion? Did you realize, hey, this customer marketing is really powerful and maybe the customer marketing is underserved from a tooling and software perspective? Or was it something else that kind of triggered like, okay, now there's a way to actually formalize this. There's actually a business opportunity around supporting customer marketing as a function.
Yeah, it's twofold. There's two things. It's like a initial thought, and then there was a validating thought behind it. One was, we had done this exercise one around June 2022, and that was a, like, interesting moment as a whole because the SaaS landscape started to shake up a little bit. And really when efficient growth and all these topics really started to come about versus growth at all costs. And at that moment, we started doing an internal exercise to really understand where our customers were coming from. because we had all the typical tooling in place from a marketing side for attribution and these sorts of things. And, you know, those tools told us that 70%, 80% of our customers were coming from like digital advertising or something that would be categorized under maybe organic or paid advertising. Internally, we just knew those metrics were true, and we just picked and choose some of the things that we thought were good feedback, and we make decisions off of those. But like the attribution model, if we were, for anyone that was there for a number of years, like you just kind of understood that that wasn't really how it was. And we had some new executives on the team at that time who were like, well, why don't you just put all the money into paid advertising? Like, so you're just getting everything from AdWords. And it's like, that's not really how it works. You know, like people are searching for our brand name and they click on it, and that's the attribution. And that was a good question to ask, of course, because you can't just build off a legacy knowledge or like internal knowledge. You've got to really document things. And so we went into this path of figuring out where all of our deals were really coming from and to validate that. And the way we had done that was very, very simple. We just asked all our new deals that we were closing, like, how did they hear about us? What was the most influential factor that drove this decision? And like a quarter to a third of those deals were just, I used you, my prior role, so-and-so referred me over, it was either a customer of ours or they heard about us in a community and somebody referred us over. And so, you know, this is sort of like the dark web, I think that's been, or dark social, I should say, that's been popularized over the last few years. But that was the first moment where it was like, yeah, like you knew those positive conversations, relationships were driving growth, but then it was like customers actually saying it was the prior experiences or the influence of a peer or customer that was making the most influential impact on their decision. So that was like moment number one, because you could just see that, like it was two things, it was that, and then you can see the gap in terms of spend on something like that. You spend over here because it's what attribution is telling you, but really your customers are telling you this, and there's a gap there. And so that was where it started to trigger, was there's this gap that even us as a company that's embracing this concept is not recognizing what that gap in spend is. And I sort of float that idea, and then we've got a mutual investor, High Alpha, who was really keen on this idea from the start as well. And we all got connected through some mutual contacts on like this concept of customer-led growth. And then the real validating factor happened a few months before I left. I had done this webinar that I alluded to earlier with one of our early customers that I knew for 6 years. And that account over that six-year time span probably went from 30 to 50K, something like this. But the impact that one individual had on the business, from referring customers and joining me individually as a horrible sales rep in the early days, so like closing a deal, to like 6 years of doing webinars with us, he probably impacted the business in the hundreds, thousands, or millions, probably more than, if 5 to 10x more than what the retention and the expansion of that one account was. And so that was really the moment where I saw the impact, and the fact that that wasn't tracked anywhere, it wasn't logged anywhere. It was just institutional knowledge. That was the moment where I was really confident about bringing this together.
Yeah, that's fascinating. There's an entire like lesson in there in marketing attribution as well. So that's maybe a separate episode for you and I to record. I'm a huge fan. I haven't always been this way. I come from the data side of marketing, so I've always been like pretty like keen on attribution. And I haven't always been this way, but more recently I've been saying like self-reported attribution is like what you should be doing. Because like I think we over-engineer it or mis-engineer it, or exactly like you're saying, it's like the institutional knowledge knows the attribution like isn't exactly right. So there are a lot of lessons in there, in addition to just the customer closeness that you mentioned as well. It's fascinating.
Yeah, totally. We're doing this all the time today as Champion.
Yeah.
And there's many influential factors. You know, we just had a call, a demo this morning, and if you just take it for face value, it was something that came from organic. If you dig a little deeper and ask a few questions, you can see that this individual had been following us on social for quite some time. But the kicker was so-and-so, a really specific person, said you should check out Champion. And so there's like the influencing factors, but then the point of difference was somebody that recommended us over.
I love that. That's so powerful. So tell us what you're doing for now customer marketers at Champion, and maybe like parlay that into... For you and I have talked a lot, and I'm going to jam like three questions into one here. So apologies for doing that. But like customer marketing feels like something that, as you've just outlined, can be incredibly powerful, but is often under-resourced. How are you solving for that under-resourcing or under-utilization of customer marketing at Champion? And what about organizations who want to get started with customer marketing? How do you do that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Most companies are doing some form of it at all stages, whether it's early stage or at the enterprise and late stage. And oftentimes when it's early stage, it's just dispersed across multiple teams. You know, might have someone on the demand side that's thinking on things like referrals or something like this. You might have a success team that's trying to populate either champions for case studies or their own referral engine. It seems, even see some of those teams have referrals as part of their incentivization and bonus. You might have the content team that's doing, or the product marketing team at an early stage that's doing like the actual case studies or review programs. It kind of gets all mixed up and it's mixed bag of who's leading what. And at some point, it all gets sort of like it's too much and it becomes one team, just gets put on one team. And that can be both a positive and negative thing. That's when customer marketing often starts to form. You usually see someone, like organization formalize that around 300 employees or so. But what ends up happening, and I went through this path as well, is it becomes there's so much to do, and you have four different teams, and they're all saying, like, we got to take this off our hands. And all of a sudden, it becomes this transition from a strategic driver in all these teams to just someone's inundated with, like, 20 different tasks that came from all these different teams, and they're now centralizing it under one org. And by the way, like, you've got to show the revenue impact behind that as well. And all of a sudden, like, what was really customer-centric and focused across all these different teams is put on one team, which isn't really the way you want it to be done. Like, you actually want it across all different teams, and you want somebody that's sort of the representative of that to help drive strategic insights and engagement across all the other teams. And so anyways, we help bring this about, and we're really four teams that inherently believe a customer-led and customer-focused strategy can help them take the next level in that growth. We're not here to really convince folks that don't believe that or don't have like the sort of investment behind that, but really have seen some organic that's coming from their existing customers. They have happy users and happy customers that they've seen, whether it's through like NPS scores or organic reviews, referrals that are already happening. And we help them take the next level with it. And so for an organization, particularly as they scale, we help them identify who their happy customers are. And we have an AI engine that helps teams do this and just surface it in real time. And the way we think of this as right person, right moment, right ask, surface who those happy customers are and the moment that they're the happiest, be able to build the right relationships with them, have the right ask that's really pertinent to them, whether that's a referral, whether that's some sort of content creation, or whether that's recognizing the fact that they left and they joined a new organization, that you can reach out to them and congratulate them on maybe that new job that they had. And then the right moment in time where we're bringing this all together and making sure that it's operationalized, automated, and that it's not done in some fashion where it's like, you know, you're reaching out to somebody for a referral, but hey, they just had a horrible QBR and like, that's the wrong time to be doing it. And so we're centralizing all this. And what we've seen historically, and I've seen it firsthand, is that as you scale, so many silos can get set up. And like, as a person that used to be, it came up from demand gen, like my worst nightmare was sending an email to customers, because if I sent one that was to somebody that wasn't supposed to get it at the wrong moment in time, I knew that was the one thing that was going to get on the CEO's radar. Yeah. And like, just populate to the C-level. Like, why did you send that email? And so like, the last thing I wanted to do was not have the right information at my fingertips. And so we centralized all this and essentially make customer marketing a strategic part of the organization.
I'm sitting here and like, what was running through my mind as you were saying it, all that, and this is going to be ironic and funny and dumb all in one, but it's like you're building a CRM for customer relationships, which is hilarious if you know what CRM stands for. You know, it's like we've maybe as marketers or go-to-market organizations like bastardized CRMs to be so like new business focused that yep. Like we're missing, you're now taking those relationships and actually spreading it across the organization with software. I think it's really fascinating that you're undoing some of the bad that we've done maybe as marketers.
You know, I won't use the name here, but we've got a customer who's a leading CRM player, and yeah, it's like it's, we're helping them identify who their happy users and customers are.
Yeah.
And there's something that's a layer on top of the CRM system of really centralizing this. Now the technology is available from an AI perspective to really bring everything together, get sentiment in real time, and like take the next level with that.
That's fascinating. Well, I wouldn't be doing my job, and I'm especially curious now that I know you're a former journalist. We see a tight correlation in some of the best marketers, content marketers we work with have a journalist background. I think obviously the writing skills, but also they know, I think they're better at asking questions and as opposed to just like giving answers. But I'm curious, like what role does content play in customer marketing? I think traditionally we think case studies, use cases, things like that. But what do you see good, how do you see good customer marketers using content in their go-to-market function?
They focus on the customer versus the company. And I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, it's something that's really core to Champion is telling the story of the customer, because that's ultimately what resonates with the next customer, is they can relate to that story. Not only the software and the benefits, and this is where we try to really focus of, so and such and such has a 40% ROI. That's really helpful. But for the most part, people buy off of like the emotional connection, and then they get to a stage and it's like, I've got to justify purchase. And then that type of content helps, of like, here's XYZ, the ROI, here's the business case. But we really try to connect with folks and understand their story, all the way from talking about, you know, your background in journalism or something like this, but like the story of the customer, the story of the where they're at in their career, their organization, what they're trying to achieve, both now and longer term, the problems that they're facing today, and then highlight them and make them sort of the hero or the champion, if you will, of the story versus the company the hero of the story. And we just have a nice positive association along with that. And I think that's what great customer marketers, really any great content creators do, is just highlight the customer and make sure that they're front and center and they're the champion ultimately.
I love that. Nice. Yeah, I love that. Just like the nuance of focus on the customer versus the company. That's awesome. Well, cool, Jeff. I appreciate all this insight. I've got a lot of notes here. You've got my wheel spinning. This has been really good. But we always like to end these conversations asking, putting you on the spot, what is one unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
The degree of popularity, I don't know. But I did get asked to speak on a session about growth hacks the other month. And I just don't even know where to start with the topic because I don't know what a growth hack is. And I've been in a lot of orgs and had the growth. And I just don't resonate with that thought and topic as a whole. So maybe that there are no growth hacks. And then typically what I see as growth hacks, people call growth hacks, it's just like marketing anyways, and we call it a growth hack. So I don't know. The concept of growth hacks, which I think is a really negative thing, because most of the actual tactics associated with it are just marketing. And then the philosophy or the concept that there is a hack is just a horrible way to think about building something, in my opinion, which is very short-term minded. So yeah, there are no growth hacks. And just marketing. And if you're thinking of the word hack, maybe push that aside.
I like that a lot. That's popular with me. And I agree. I think hacks like implies like shortcuts or something. And if they all worked, we would all be doing it already anyway. So I could rant with you on that one.
Just real quick, I saw some type of hack that was like, reach out to folks that you know and get them to like post on social. It's like, again, it's just marketing, like
genius,
getting them to promote. It's not a hack, you know, it's just like, I don't know, just marketing. Anyways, I'll stop on that.
For hours. All good. We'll let you rant on another episode when we talk about attribution as well. Jeff, if people want to learn more from you or learn more about Champion, what's the best way to do that?
I can connect with me on LinkedIn, Jeff Reeker, I guess it's no handle. You can definitely connect with Champion HQ, and that would be a great thing to follow on LinkedIn, or just check us out, championhq.com.
Awesome. We'll have all those links in the show notes. I can confirm that Jeff is a good follow on LinkedIn. I would encourage you to do that. Go check out Champion the platform. We're learning a lot and benefiting from it already. So Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. Listeners, watchers of the show, thank you. Until next time, cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.